And you got to imagine, I mean, once you have the stuff set up, it's like, oh, I need Tom, Dick, and Harry. Okay, beep, 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 brrr, done.
Yeah, he was like, it's free money. All right, so it is Wednesday, not Tuesday. It is the 18th of April. Spring has sprung. Spring has sprunged. And it's on Taking Pictures.
Yay!
Yeah. And it is a special. It is a special on Taking Pictures.
Aww.
It is a 312, episode 312. And if you do the math, dear listeners, if you do the math, dear children listening, you will know that this episode right here that you are about to listen to closes out 6 years of doing the show.
Wow. Have you ever done anything for 6 years?
Not intentionally.
Not that I'm going to tell my mother about. Yeah.
So if we go back, if we go to ontakingpictures.com and we look up the following.
It's going to take a while to scroll back.
Falling Bear.
Is that what it was called? Oh, because the thing was the bear.
Because the bear fell out of the tree. Remember that? So episode one on posted on Monday, April 30th, 2012. Was called Falling Bears. Yeah. And it was called Falling Bears because one of the stories that we were talking about was this bear was a university somewhere.
A tree and a guy took a picture and then people started using the picture. I think it was what it was, wasn't it?
Right. It was at
University of Boulder.
Yeah, so they tranquilize this bear, and there's video of this bear kind of
picture the bear
kaflumping. yeah, and the guy caught the bear sort of midair, and
totally they had a guy in a bear suit.
Yeah, it totally looks like a guy in a like some sort of commercial. But they had a mattress type thing in, beneath it, so it, you know, hopefully didn't hurt itself.
Casper Tyan, what?
Yeah, right. But then it's right. The bear was really comfortable and the memory foam conformed to its body perfectly. It's not that he was tranquilized. He was just so damn comfortable on that mattress that he didn't want to get up. Casper.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was what we were talking about. And it became a meme and the guy was bitter that he wasn't getting paid for it. And he worked for the newspaper. So there was all this brouhaha. But anyway, so April 30th, 2012 was the first show. And now here we are closing out year six on April 18th. So in theory, we kind of missed it. We could have held the show until April 30th.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The next one will be
because it's not exactly 52 weeks in a year, right? It's like
right,
52
right,
weeks
right.
in a few days. So,
and it will open the next one will open year seven.
Year seven, right? Which is like the big, you know, thing.
That's the thing.
This is the sad. The next one is the happy one.
Right, right. So this is the, yeah.
This
somebody's
the
got a lampshade.
The next one's the looking forward.
Right, right. We should do an in memoriam of the shows that we lost and just list the show numbers. All right. So it's Bill in Brooklyn.
Yay.
It's Jeffrey in Silver Spring. And
I'm so happy to be in Brooklyn. Go ahead.
Right, right. It is the end. And thank you. We couldn't do this, wouldn't do this, shouldn't do this without you, the listeners. And some of you love us. Some of you hate us. Some of you think that we are absolutely full of shit. And those of you who do are absolutely right.
And then there's Bill fans. What? I'm sorry.
What? Oh, wow. Harsh. So that's how it's going to be.
We're off on a tear, people, today.
That's right. That's right.
312. The gloves come off.
That's right. That's right. So a little bit of housekeeping. Over the weekend. No, not over the weekend. Yesterday. I got a copy of Let's Explore magazine.
Okay.
And It's terrific. If you have not seen this magazine, thank you, thank you, thank you, Killian, for sending this off. It's issue number one. It's called Crossroads is the title of the issue. And it's terrific. It's writers, photographers, writing and photographing. It's a self-produced magazine. It is absolutely a labor of love. You can tell by looking at it. The paper's terrific. The photos are terrific. And our own listener, John Wilkening, has an image on the cover and a story inside.
Where can somebody get this?
I you know what? I think it's just letsexploremag.com.
Okay. Hey, just before we wrap up the other thing, what is the Come to Jesus episode? The one where you had, is that the one we recorded and then we redid again?
I don't remember actually. Which episode number?
Okay.
Something about art being sublime and it's a responsibility to that one.
It could be. It's the one where we recorded and then you were really upset and then we re-recorded it and it got really heavy.
Yeah.
In the 60s.
I don't remember that one. I don't remember. If anybody knows that episode who's been with us that long.
I just figured that if somebody wanted to point somebody towards, you know, I think the pinnacle of the sort of intensity that sometimes we get to, I think that one is it.
Peak OTP?
Yeah, peak OTP.
Let's see. 60, was it 67?
Could be.
I think you're right. I think it might be in the 60s. Anyway, letsexploremagazine.com is the URL.
Yep, I will put a link in the show notes to Let's Explore.
Yeah, I don't remember which episode that was. If anybody can help us out, text us or...
Somebody who's listened to all of these in the last couple of years, because some of you have. I know some of you have gone back and listened, so... Anyway. Yeah. Sorry to derail your...
No, that's okay. That's all right. Just wanted to say thanks for the magazine. It's terrific. Love it. And if you're interested, go check it out and show some love to Killian and all the folks that...
I put a link in the show notes. It looks like it's like a matte paper. Is that true?
It is. Okay. And you know I love the matte paper.
I know you do.
Ooh, I'm rubbing the cover right now.
I had a picture of mine in some German magazine a while back that was a matte paper. And it came out much nicer than I expected it to. Because a lot of times I find that a lot of matte printing feels a little dull for my taste. But if it's done really well, it's beautiful. You know, it's like one of those, has to be just right, I think.
Yeah, I really like it. I'm looking forward to the next one whenever that happens or whatever happens. And I said this on Instagram to Killian, if there is some opportunity for us to collaborate on something, let's bounce that around and see what we can come up with.
Yeah, that's very cool. You all right?
Yes, I'm okay.
You cleaning up your sinuses there?
Cleaning out the pipes.
All right, where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about?
Well, we were talking about something just before we started in the sort of pre-show that I think there might be something there that's interesting.
I have a way to explain it.
Okay. It started with,
don't say what it is. Cause I can't let that out of the bag.
Oh,
we're looking at,
oh, you can't.
No. Cause technically that's all sort of whatever. So okay. we were looking at the swag from a company of whom I took pictures kind of the other day.
You took pictures of people.
I took pictures
there.
Of people that own a company. And
there's a specific design style that they're collateral and their labels and
stuff,
branding and all that kind of stuff. And it's terrific. It really is terrific.
Yeah. And I commented first and then Jeffrey sort of piled on that neither of us, I definitely couldn't do it. Jeffrey probably could design this way. But even you said, what exactly were the words you said?
Something like I would look like I was trying to do this.
Right.
It wouldn't come out as organic and natural. It would look like I'm trying. Like, okay, as a point of reference, I won't tell you who the company is that Bill's talking about. But if you have ever seen the work by 1924.us,
yes, Sir Doris' favorite 1924.us.
That's right. Christian Watson is the guy behind that, and he does this very specific type of like oldie timey kind of design.
Yeah, it's sort of the turn of the 20th century vintage kind of look.
Yeah, right? Americana, that, like, you'll when you see this, you'll go, oh, I know what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
And this company that Bill was talking about does similar styled packaging design, yeah, and it's right. really terrific. A great typography, interesting images. But we were talking about how, you know, and I to Bill's point, I said, this would not look like this. It would look like me trying to emulate this.
Yes. Yeah. And that got me thinking about just the idea that how in photography, there are a lot of times when I'll take a picture and I'll do it right. You know what I mean? Like I'll be trying to somebody will say, oh, can you take one like this? And I'll look at the picture and I'll be like, oh yeah, I can do that lighting. I can get that focal length. Sure, I can take this picture. You know what I mean? That
mm-hmm,
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I take it and it feels like I'm trying to put on airs. It feels like I'm trying to put on a show that it's a bad facsimile of the original rather than the original.
Yeah, yeah. It's you doing Steve McCurry or Irving
exactly.
Penn or whatever.
Right. And it may be that to your average viewer it doesn't feel that way. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily know that if you designed packaging like that, Jeffrey, that anybody would say, oh, God, Jeffrey, he doesn't know how to do that kind of design.
Right, right.
I'm sure people would say, oh, that's really, you know, that's really nice. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
Jeffrey did oldie-timey design or whatever.
But it's such an effort to sort of break out of where your groove is.
Right, but I guess that's sort of my question is, whoever designed this stuff or this, what's the guy from the 1924.us guy? Christian Watson.
Hi, Christian. I don't know if you listen to the show, but if you do, big fan.
Maybe this is just Christian's natural predilection of design. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In the same way that my friend Craig Ward, who is, you know, monster graphic designer guy.
Right.
I've never seen him do stuff that looks like this oldie-timey stuff. Maybe he could. He probably could. But it's certainly not what he naturally does.
Right. Right, 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 right.
You know? So there's this thing of, you know, where your body naturally sits. In the same way that I have never been able to make electronica music. I can write music. I can write melodies. I can do harmony. I can write big band scores. But
right.
I can't
write something that's based on loops. Like Kruder and Dorfmeister or something.
Right, right, right. I pull up a bunch of loops and start putting them together and it feels like I'm playing with like a bad like audio Jenga puzzle, you know?
Right, right.
You know? And so...
And to be clear, sometimes those things can turn out well. I mean, look, you can listen to somebody doing an impression of Christopher Walken and go, yeah, that's a really good impression of Christopher Walken, but it's not Christopher Walken.
True, true, true. But that's for comic effect, right?
But even if you're trying to really sort of, you know, get in there and be him, it's still going to be an approximation.
There's something to say with the idea that if you tried to design like that, let's say, I'm not ripping on you like that. I'm just saying maybe you do it, you try to do it, and it fails. But in that failure, you find something interesting.
Absolutely. And that has happened. Not in this kind of style, but I have tried to, you know, it's the same thing with design and photography and art and music. You know, you emulate your heroes.
Yeah.
You know, I can try my damnedest to do something that looks like it would be in the pages of Ray Gun magazine designed by, you know, Chris Ashworth or David Carson. But it's going to look like me trying to be David Carson or Chris Ashworth. It's not going to be...
Do you think that's
authentic or honest?
It's weird because that's we've talked a lot about how that is the graphic design style that you grew up with, right? Not grew up with as in from the 70s, but grew up like at sort of when you really got into that stuff in the early 90s or whatever. That's
really the first time that Ray Gun, Transworld Skateboarding, there was a company called Attic Design, ATTIK.
Right.
You know, that really felt like home to me.
Right, 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 right.
But I can't do it for shit.
Yeah. Really?
I can't. It's just not the way I see. It's not the way I think. And it's one of the reasons, I mean, you know, they say that simple is the hardest thing to do and do well. And while that may be true.
Complex, messy things that aren't actually messy.
I mean, go look at some of David Carson's work or Ashworth's work. And you look at it and you go, It is so purposefully messy. It is so intentionally chaotic that you can't duplicate it. You have to just feel it. You have to know it.
Is that
you
have true? To just? Do you think that that's true? Or do you think that's what we're putting on it?
I think that's true. I mean, look, you went to the Eddie Adams workshop last year.
Yes.
Okay. And you're assisting Dan up on the hill, Dan Winters.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Who is one of our favorite photographers, both.
Yep.
So you know how he shoots, you know how he lights, you know how he color grades, you use the same camera.
Yeah. And yet I can't make my pictures look like his.
Well, it's not that you can't. It's just that that's not the way you see.
Right. In some ways, it will never happen because I'm not Dan Winters. In the same way that if he tried to mimic me, it would still look like Dan Winters mimicking me, whatever that is.
Absolutely. Means, right? Because you're bringing your aesthetic, you're bringing your life experience, you're bringing your design style, you're bringing your color theory.
But you're bringing all of that. You know that scene? I was talking about JFK yesterday. Do you know that scene
back
in JFK?
And to the left.
Yeah.
Back and to the left.
But you know what? That's a really good movie. I mean,
it is a good movie.
Take away the conspiracy theory part of it, which is questionable.
Yeah, just look at it as an exercise in editing, and it's genius.
Yeah, sorry, Dave. I just don't find your story believable. Really? Which part? But there's a scene where towards the end where they're kind of talking about where what the hell's the guy's name? Why am I blanking on the guy who killed JFK?
Well,
Lee Harvey
allegedly.
Oswald. That Oswald
allegedly.
Yeah. Where Oswald is like at the theater, and then he's walking down the street, and they do these crazy smash cuts, like two frames a piece, where it's like jumping around him there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's very sort of Tony Scott, like jump cutty kind of thing.
Right. So I remember I listened to I think we maybe talked about this early on in the show. It's been so many years. I think it was during that one of those editing videos, you know, those like documentaries about editing or whatever. Anyway, they were talking to the guy, and he had made a version of that scene, and he showed it to who directed that? Oh, it was what's his name?
Oliver Stone.
He showed it to Oliver Stone, and Oliver Stone said, "No, it needs to be more chaotic." And he's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
And he ended up playing it and just mashing on keys to put it together, and that's what's in the movie.
Hmm.
So I wonder if David Carson sometimes just goes, I'm just going to turn my head and slide this over here and let it go. All right, yep, that's where it's staying. Or if it really is pixel accurate design. See what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of it is still by hand. It's still paste up. It's still analog.
Yeah. But I'm wondering if he moved it a quarter inch, if you picked up one of those pieces and moved it a quarter inch in any direction and he looked back, whether he'd be able to tell that something had moved.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I tried this the other day. I gave myself an exercise. Hold on one second.
I think my question is, are you putting your rules on David Carson, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Because I don't know his rules. Well, and if you talk to him, he doesn't have any rules, right?
Maybe.
He just knows it when he sees it.
Right, okay.
You know, and like I was saying, I gave myself this little assignment the other day of trying to do some paste-up, trying to do some analog design work, and I'm using my air quotes here. And I printed out a bunch of text and I went to it, man. I went to it with an X-Acto knife. I was cutting and pasting and slicing things around and just trying to make something that looked sort of elegantly chaotic the way those guys do. And I'm talking about, you know, the two guys that I've mentioned, and Von Oliver is another one. Chris Biggs, he's another one. And it just looked like complete garbage. It was just a mess. It was appropriately messy, but it wasn't any good.
Like a college kid trying to do it?
I think a college kid nowadays would probably do it better. I just don't see that way. I don't see it. And that is the, you know, we have beat that thing to death in terms of it's not about gear, it's about vision, but it really, really is.
Yeah, but okay. Do you think though that you could learn that? If you said, in the same way that I've never been able to improvise jazz very well, if I said, you know what, for the next 2 years of my life, in the same way as that ping pong video, remember the kid learning ping pong?
Yeah, yeah.
If I just said, I'm going to learn, it's like, I know all the theory. I know all that stuff. I studied that stuff for years. I just have never been able to do it well.
I don't know that past a certain point you can, because for me, the grid is so ingrained into my design aesthetic that sort of clean, you know, sort of pixel accurate, you know, proportionately designed, all that stuff is so in my head that it would be very hard to unlearn that. That's sort of, you know, you must unlearn, you know, unlearn to move forward kind of thing. That would be very difficult for me. Maybe in the same way that someone who has spent a lifetime playing 12-bar blues and now you tell them to go play bebop and just improvise, that's and don't hold to a 4/4 or whatever it is.
Right.
It's like you're speaking Greek.
Yeah. But,
you know,
does that mean it's difficult or does that mean it's impossible?
I don't think it's impossible. I just think it is difficult.
Very and highly I would, unlikely.
You know, I would have to then go back and go, okay, if I were, you know, and I'm sorry to keep picking on David Carson in this way or using him as an example, but I would have to go back and go, okay, Dave, what did David watch? What did he listen to? What types of things was he into? I mean, first of all, he was part of a completely different culture. He was part of this surf culture. He was, you know, I think he was ranked number 8 at his peak in the world.
Right.
So there's this surf culture that is a much more, it's a different approach to living, a different way of life. There's maybe even a different value system than sort of grid accuracy.
Sure.
You know, this has to go here, this has to go there. And so I think you would have to go back, regardless of what you're talking about, even photographically. You know, you have to go back and go, you know, what was going on in the world when Elliot Erwitt was coming up? What was going on in the world when Saul Leiter was coming up? What was going on in the world when
Jeffrey Zadoris was coming up? That's an element of it, right? I also think, I mean, both the time and the place. I was just in Austin for the past few days.
Yeah.
And I was staying with my friend Kevin Greer down there. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
And had some barbecue with Patrick Wong and his lovely wife.
Nice. Hi, Patrick. I owe Patrick an email.
That was super fun. But we were down there, and you know, a 3-minute walk from Kevin's house is this place called Barton Springs, which is this.
Okay.
They dammed off part of the river and turned it into like this naturally fed swimming pool, basically this giant naturally fed swimming pool. And you go there in the middle of the day, and it's $3, and you go sit on the grass, and all these, you know, people are looking hanging at,
oh,
out
wow.
and
oh jump. Looks lovely.
Yeah, it's wow. sort of it's a thing. It's an Austin staple. And that's 3 minutes from his house, right?
Wow, look at that.
And there's all kinds of you know, food and, you know, all the things that Austin gives you, right?
Sure.
And there's this feeling in me, this not rebellious, but like it's not I'm put off by such comfort. If that makes any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm working on it. It's almost as if it's too easy, right? It's like, yeah, life down here is easy and it's lovely and it's very livable and all those things that people say, except for the traffic. Traffic sucks. But there's something about it as somebody who grew up in the Northeast and has seasons. And, you know, like the weather changes a lot, right? And it's much more nose to the grindstone. You don't go to the pool in the middle of the day. You get to work. You know what I mean? This sort of Puritan work ethic kind of weird thing. Like, it's not supposed to be easy. You know, the stuff our dads used to say, right?
Yeah. If it were fun, they wouldn't call it work.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Even though what I do for work, I do find fun, right? So, I mean, I don't have that element of it. But part of it is just like, this is off-putting to me because it's too easy, right? Hmm. It almost makes me uncomfortable. But
maybe
for them,
maybe on the other side, you make things more difficult than they have to be.
Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe they get less done than they would if they were living in my world or whatever. I don't know, right? You know? But maybe less done to them means more fulfilling life in other ways. I don't know, right? But I'm just saying that the way that I see the world as a Northeastern and I go to Austin, it feels weird to me in the same way that somebody from Austin dropped in New York and it's suddenly, oh my God, it's so fast. And I don't know how there's all these people around and whatever the, you know, the standard lines are about different places. So I think that's an element of it too. It's just like the way you look at the world based upon where you grew up. The time period, you're right. The surfing for David Carson, you're right. But also just like your just general worldview and how you look at things,
sure.
You know,
sure.
is very distinct. So it all goes back to this idea of can you choose the kind of work you make, or do you make the work you're going to make? You know, does the work choose you, or do you choose the work?
I think that's one for 313.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to think about that. I don't know. I mean, certainly all of those influences are going to filter through somehow, right? All the things that you just mentioned. Can you change them?
I'm sure you could put a spin on the ball.
I think you can. Yeah, I mean, is it a matter of direction or a matter of English? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that you. And I hate this answer. This like deeply offends me from the point of view. I'm very much a free will kind of person, because if there's no free will, why bother? You know, that's sort of, then you're on a amusement park ride, and I don't like that idea. But I'm beginning to think that there is far more things that you can't control in your life, or how you're going to end up being, or how, you know, than I like. You know what I mean? That there's inevitability to some elements, that we're all going to end up like our parents, all that kind of stuff, which really I don't like in theory, but I think is true in practice more than I want.
Well, and it's a weird thing to think about, because on the one hand, it absolves you from responsibility, a complete responsibility of failure.
It's part of why I don't like it.
But it also prohibits you from taking 100% of the credit.
Right. Yeah.
So which part rubs you the wrong way the hardest? The being, you know, not having to take credit for the failure, or not being able to take credit for the success, if it's all sort of planned out? And I mean, I think there's on some level there's a beauty to that, because it allows you to focus on the journey, not the destination. If the destination is already
predetermined,
then you get to focus on the experience of getting there.
Yeah, but if you can't, you know, if you don't like where it's headed, I wonder how many people, okay, the style you're stuck in, the style I'm stuck in, the style we're all stuck in, right? Like the thing that we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people dislike the style they're stuck in, right?
Probably a fair number.
You think so? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look, I guess that's going to speak to happiness. That's going to speak to contentment overall, right? And I think that varies. We have seen that varies greatly from country to country.
True.
That for whatever reason, the Danish countries, the Scandinavian countries, thank
happier.
You, are noticeably happier than either we are in, you know, North America or the Far East.
And they have the highest taxes in the world. Nope. But they also have the highest rates of suicide. So who knows what we're talking about?
Well, but the president says we have the highest tax rates in the world.
Oh, right. Of course. Yeah. No. Well, whatever he says is true, right? So,
this is an interesting topic, and I think I'd like to dive a little deeper into this. Podcast at untakingpictures.com if you have some thoughts.
I put the do you choose your work, or does your work choose you? In the thing for next week. Well, I'm going to think about that one. And
also, can I make a suggestion? Can I ask your opinion on this? Actually, I've had a couple people mention that they really like when you cut in the actual audio from questions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I did that last week for the second time or something.
Yeah. So, but I got a couple emails about it. Can we maybe occasionally make that a thing, where if you want to call in at 347-687-9411 and leave us a question, a comment that occasionally we can splice those into the show, because it's kind of interesting to hear, like actually hear, not just hear from, but actually hear the people that listen to the show.
Yeah. Ask OTP, which we'll get to some questions in a few minutes. A lot of people send them in email, which is great. But yeah, if you want to call and leave a voicemail, then we can splice it in. It's even more fun.
I'm going to have to noodle on this for a little bit, because one of the other things we were talking about before the show is I put up some new mugs and t-shirts kind of based on some of the style of design that I did in the book. And I gave myself this sort of task on the first ones, especially the angle of view ones, is I can only use one color and they have to be as simple as possible and still communicate what it is that term or that concept represents.
Yep.
Could I have gone really sort of messy with that? I could have, but I don't think it would have been as good. In the same way that we were looking at this company that Bill was talking about, and I said we were talking about t-shirts, and I was like, oh, I really like the new Nine Inch Nails t-shirts.
Right.
That from the Ad Violence tour and record and all that, and your response was
it looks like David Carson.
Yeah, like it looks like something right out of Ray Gun. Ray it's Gun. Like you were like, no wonder you like it, you know, like that kind of thing. And yet I tried to do something like that. I saw those and I was like, ooh, I wonder if I could do something like that with like photographic quotes or terms or something like that. Yeah. And I tried mocking some up, and Bill, they were horrible. Oh my God, they were just awful. They were just awful.
Isn't that funny?
And I just went, nope, I just don't see it. It's me trying to emulate rather than just doing.
I just wonder if you did one of those a day for a month, you don't think you'd be better at it in 30 days?
I don't know. And maybe to your point, maybe that's a 30-day challenge that I can give myself is every day I will do some sort of design challenge and I'll post that and see how they.
I think you should make stuff in
give that, me some parameters.
I think you should make stuff in that Ray Gun style and you need to post them every day, whether they're terrible or not. Because then there's blood on the line. You know what I mean?
So is there a particular theme or like if I sit down to do number one, is it a fictional band?
What if it's you choose a news story of the day and take a theme from that and turn it into something of that design? Because that stuff's all type. A lot of it's type, right?
A lot of it's type and little bits and pieces of imagery. And
so there's plenty of stuff in the news every day that you could pull something. You know what I'm saying?
So like, reinterpret some sort of headline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'm going to write this down.
Is that a reasonable?
I think so.
I'm just thinking of something that is different, that is slightly chaotic, right? You don't know what's coming next. Anything could happen tomorrow.
Reinterpret.
But I want it as if you were pitching Ray Gun in 1992.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, here's your double truck spread or whatever.
I accept. I think
it'd be fun.
Yeah. So I
guess my question is, it'll be really interesting to see if you feel like, two things. One, if we, the viewers, feel like you've improved or changed over those 30 days. And more importantly, if you feel like you've improved at the end of 30 days of doing it.
Right.
Because I think we all suck at things when we first start doing it, right?
And is this daily? Is this a daily thing?
It's up to you. I think that if you took an hour a day to do one of those, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Oh, okay.
Right?
It'll probably take longer than an hour a day. Yeah, but... I'm curious to see what comes out of it. So, and are these spreads?
I just think that you need to do more than say one every few days because it's about the number of iterations, right?
Yeah.
It's the number of generations that is going to make more of a difference than spending time on each one. This is that kind of thing where, as you said, he knows where that thing is supposed to be, or at least this is how you see it. He knows where that piece of type is supposed to be. You shouldn't be thinking about it moving that piece of type around for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Can I use, are there limitations on what I can use?
No.
in terms of materials? Like, can I repurpose photographs from you know, Politico or the sure. the Express or Washington Post or whatever?
As long as you pay for the rights to use them.
Smart ass. Touche. yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little punchy today.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine. Wise ass.
Anyway, I just think that I think that kind of thing is really interesting.
Yeah, no, I do too. And maybe, you know, to your point, maybe the reason or one of the reasons that I have been frustrated is because I have only attempted that type of design work in
fits and spurts.
Yeah,
it doesn't come easily. You go and you walk away.
That's not what I do. Yeah,
what sound do you make?
Yeah.
No, I do that myself. Whenever I'll find some picture by somebody and I'll say, oh, I want to do it like that, and I'll try to take that picture and I just go, oh, that's not working. I'll get rid of all these lights. Give me whatever I normally do.
Right. Well, and it's no different than
sometimes it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's no different than music, or it's no different than writing. It's no different than, you know, than any of it. I think this could be an interesting challenge.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I also think that if anybody else out there has
wants to lump on something for me to do.
No. Has any ideas for themselves of this kind of thing, whether it's
right.
photographic styles or whatever it is, like we could turn it into a thing. You know,
yeah,
like,
I wonder
like
OTP
30-day challenge.
Yes.
And I could like maybe we can start on May 1st. I think I'll be back by May 1st.
Wait, are you gone for 313 as well, or are you back?
I'm in Florida for 313, but I'm planning on bringing a mic so I can record down there.
Okay. Yeah, so when you're back proper, is that, two weeks?
I get back a week from Saturday, but then I might be going to London, so that's the question mark. But I'll let you know. But anyway, the point is, like, maybe we start at the beginning of a month so we can say it's, you know, OTP May 30 hashtag or whatever it is, and everyone can post these things.
Give yourselves some sort of 30-day stylistic challenge.
Something, yeah, exactly.
If this resonates with you, yeah.
Something that you are not good at that you want to get better at, and that's all you shoot for that month or whatever.
It's like OTP 30 days of style.
Yeah. Here, write down some of those ideas for hashtags because those are good.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? I think that there's value in, I think, taking things that none of us are good at that we want to get good at and concentrating only on them and not letting us go backwards. You know, not letting us fall back on what makes us comfortable. Because there are times, look, if I'm out like I was yesterday in a field with bison and I'm shooting and the light's coming up and I'm trying some fancy thing and it's not working, well, I got to get the shot for the magazine. I can't, you know what I mean? Like, I can't.
Right.
At a certain point,
on some level, you've got
to
go back to what you know.
Exactly. Right. If it's not working,
I've
got to get what I got to get because I have one shot. But for personal thing, if I take a picture of somebody and it's no good or whatever, like, okay, well, there's always tomorrow, right? I think, okay, well, you know what? Write that down. We'll come up with some better rules for the 30-day challenge.
Yeah. So we'll sort this out over the next couple of weeks and then drop it on let's see. Let me look at my calendar. What is the next? How close are we to May 1 with a show?
2 weeks.
No. I mean, how close?
May 1 is actually 2 weeks from now. Or that
is
it? Tuesday, 2 weeks from now. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Okay, so May 1.
Okay, let's plan on that.
Yeah, good call, Bill. All right. I'm tired.
I the other day, I got very sick down in Austin, and then the next day I had to drive to the middle of nowhere, like 80 miles outside of Austin, and I had the rental car, so I had to drive and I had to get out there, and so I'm driving with like kind of tunnel vision because I'm like still motion sick and
nice.
Like, you know, my stomach's turning and I'm like have to pull off the side of the road every once in a while and just like sit there. Like, it was so bad.
You okay, fella?
Totally like that. One time Conrad and I, it was actually the first time, this is 10 years ago, I picked her up at the bus station in Hartford because she was coming down from Boston and we were going to my mother's house for 4th of July. It was the first time my mother was going to meet her. And I had a little bit of a headache before I left in my mother's car to go to Hartford to get her. It's like a half hour away. So I drive the half hour and I pick her up and my headache just exploded while I was on the drive up there. But I, you know, nothing to do but drive home, you know. And I start driving home and I just hit this wall where I was like, I have to get off the thing right now. And I get off the highway or whatever. And we stop at this gas station and I just sit there for a minute. I'm like, okay, let's just push through. You know, I have another like 15 minutes to go. And I pulled onto the on-ramp of the highway and this wave of nausea hit me again. So I just pull off the road again. I get out behind the car and I'm like retching behind the car. And this doctor, this guy pulls up who claimed to be a doctor and comes over and is like, is he all right? And he's just like, oh, he's got a migraine. He's like, yeah,
get in the back of the van. I'll help you.
He's like, yeah, sure you do. Like, he totally thought I was on drugs or had a hangover or something like that. I'm like, you know what, buddy? It's like the
worst.
That's
funny.
I already put the link in there. I put it in the show notes already. Hey, we're getting a little long just because we had a really good conversation. Can we move these two to next week?
Neither
of them
yes.
is particularly time
sensitive. Yeah, right? yeah.
Okay.
Make sure you tune in next week because we've got a couple interesting stories. One on photography as therapy, and another one on what is that? Picasso's Guernica.
Yeah.
Kind of a new version of that.
I have mixed feelings on that one. I have to admit.
I do too, and I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that is a good thing that we'll have to say something interesting. We have to say something interesting.
No pressure.
Oh God. So I get off my flight last night and I go out, I call up my car service and I was like, hey, and it's a big enough car service that there's almost always a car within like 5 minutes of the terminal. Cause they're dropping other people off and that kind of stuff.
Are these one of the ones that do like specifically that run from JFK or whatever?
It's the local car service, but you know, it's just, you know, guys and they're people in their cars, you know, it's not like Lyft and it's not like a taxi. It's somewhere in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, call up a place and they send you a car and like a 5 minute,
right,
five minute. And usually it's 5 minutes. So you call once you get off the plane and you're walking towards the exit, you call and you say, I need a pickup at JFK Terminal 4. And they come. So I get outside and I get a call from the guy and it's freezing out. And I didn't bring a big coat cause I was in Texas. And the guy calls and he's just like, I'm going to be 20 minutes. Like, will you wait for me? I was like, no, I'm not waiting 20 minutes.
Wait, but do you have a choice? You don't have a choice.
It's 11:30 at night. Well, okay. Yeah. So it was either that, which is like $45,
right,
or a taxi, which ends up being like $60-something, which technically it's a work thing. So
you can write it off.
I get reimbursed, but
yeah,
there was a line for the taxi. So I'm like, you know, so what do I do? So I Lyft wanted $65 for the ride or $45 for a Lyft line. Do you ever see these things?
I have no idea what any of these things are. I've never Ubered. I've never Lyfted.
There's basically this thing where they pick somebody up, then they pick you up, then they drop the other person off, then they drop you off. It's like this daisy
chain.
It's
like a party line for commuting.
Exactly. So you end up getting in a car that somebody else is already in, and then they get out, and then you drive home.
Oh, see, now I would like that, because then there's a conversation to be had.
No conversation with the woman sitting next to me last night.
You're not allowed to?
She had her headphones in, and she was turning around.
Did not want to have
a conversation with me.
Yeah. Maybe it was your approach.
Yeah. Getting in the car? Anyway, long story short, it took me forever, and I got home at like midnight, so I'm a little tired. You know what you need when you're tired, Jeffrey? You need to not spend a lot of time on your website.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. It wasn't going to be amphetamines or anything. I mean, it was going to be spending less time on the website.
I picked the wrong day to quit doing amphetamines. Airplane?
Right. Yeah, sure. The first one, not the second one. Second one got a little goofy.
Picked a bad day to quit sniffing glue.
Yep.
That's a weird movie.
Lloyd Bridges was that.
Does that hold up, that movie?
Sure it does.
Wow. Okay.
I think it does.
Well, guys, you can use Squarespace to showcase your work and build a beautiful website of all the pictures you've ever taken. No, you should edit it a little bit.
So if we wanted to do OTP30daysofstyle.com,
oh yeah,
we could totally knock that out with Squarespace.
In fact, we could totally knock that out with Squarespace. Yeah, we could totally knock that out with Squarespace. In fact, I bet
that might be kind of fun.
And put people's work up or your work up.
Put people's work up, not just my work. My work, oof, anybody's work.
Tricky. All right, well, we'll look into that. You can blog and publish content, which is fantastic when you know, I'm going to put up my daily pictures or I want to write an article about how much this camera sucks. By the way, the Blackmagic new video pocket camera I was written today does take stills. 8 megapixels stills, DNGs. You can sell products and services of all kinds. So if you want to screen print some t-shirts and you want to sell them, you can do that on Squarespace. You can also, if you have your book or your ebook like Jeffrey does, you can sell those on Squarespace. You can promote your physical or online business. So if you've got a headshot studio in your town, you can stick the map right in there so people can find you really easily and call you and connect with you in all kinds of different ways. You can announce an upcoming event or special project like your new t-shirts. You could put a banner up at the top of the screen to say, hey, new t-shirts in stock, click here to check out more. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers, powerful e-commerce functionality that lets you sell anything online, the ability to customize look, feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks of your mouse, trackpad, tablet, trackball, finger.
Neural interface.
I know. Voice command.
Right.
And everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box, so it'll look great on your phone or your iPad or your Nexus 7 tablet that I pulled out of the closet for this trip.
Does it still fire up?
It does. The battery's getting a little shot, but it plugged into like one of those little anchor things, and it worked great.
That's funny.
It's got a new way to build domains, to buy domains, and to choose from over 200 different extensions. So you can buy your domain right on Squarespace. So you want to connect it to your Squarespace website you're building. It's easy, and it's all done for you. Analytics that help you grow in real time, so you can tell where people are coming from and know where to post stuff. They got built-in search engine optimization, so everything looks great, and you can find it easily right on Google or Bing or Alta Vista, Lycos,
Alta Vista,
Yahoo.
What Excite. What was that? Oh, it was on Parks and Rec, where Ben was like, "And why are you people still using Alta Vista?"
And with your account, you get free secure hosting with nothing to patch or upgrade ever. So you don't have to worry about whether there's a security problem or whatever. Squarespace is doing that all for you. You don't have to go in there. You don't have to upgrade anything ever. Although they do keep adding new features all the time. So it's great for you. You get the best that Squarespace has to offer at all times. And they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. You can text with them. You can chat with them. You can email with them. And so go make it with Squarespace. Easily create your website all by yourself. So think it, dream it, make it with Squarespace. We love them. I use Squarespace for BillWadman.com, and I'm very happy with the quality of the site I have. In fact, I have to go update it because I haven't updated it in like a year. But
well, you know, you're doing other things.
Well, I've been posting a lot of stuff, but I just haven't updated the galleries. But they're really great. They're very supportive of us since the beginning. So go check out squarespace.com/OTP. Use the show offer code OTP when you're ready to launch. And you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. And go try it. Go to that URL, start a site. You can try it, free trial, no credit card required. It just builds a site. It's like, boop, all right, here's your site. Start building it. And you can mess around with it for 2 weeks before you have to decide to buy. So go check it out. Thank you very much to Squarespace for their support of On Taking Pictures and Vibe by Five.
Thanks, guys. And gals.
Man, I'm getting hoarse. Wilbur. Did you watch Mr. Ed back in the day?
Of course. Everybody watched Mr. Ed.
I watched Mr.
These
Ed.
These kids in their 500 channels, they don't know what it was like to only have 3 channels.
I think Mr. Ed was on... God, I feel like I'm insane, but I think I saw a little chunk of Mr. Ed on a TV in the last few days somewhere.
I'm
that
sure
I was.
You did. It's probably on TV Land. They probably run.
Oh, could have been like at the airport or something on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They
like
probably
that.
Run old episodes. I was going to say old issues of that.
Which one do you want to do first? Well, you know what? Let's do the second one first because that'll give me my voice a break because it's a big question for you.
I don't want a big... What do I get a big... All right, go ahead.
It is a big question for you.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
All right.
A question for you.
Yeah, all right.
John wrote in and said, I recently listened to the episode where Jeffrey Sidoris is... Jeffrey Sidoris, not you, the other Jeffrey.
Right, the other
Jeffrey. Yeah. Where Jeffrey had just gotten back from Paris, episode 293, for those of you who are interested. And you mused aloud about how much of the impression of the place was the afterglow of the trip itself. Now that you've been, you've had a bit more time, do you still feel the same way, or has your takeaway changed more upon reflection?
No, it has not changed. Paris is still an incredible city. I think about it a lot. Adrian and I are going to be going back again in September, I think.
Do
is that okay
remember?
To call that out? honey.
21st. So wait, why go back there versus go somewhere else?
Because I believe we are going to be going to Fotokina.
Oh, okay.
In Germany. So the plan is so far that we are trying to figure out is to fly into Charles de Gaulle, spend a couple days in Paris, maybe three, maybe four, maybe two. I don't know. We don't know. Go to Fotokina, meet up with Ben Thomas and some of the other Hasselblad masters.
Okay.
And have some conversations with them that will hopefully end up as an episode of PD.
Oh, I see.
And then we'll spend a couple days there. And then if all goes well, we are going to meet up with Mr. Sean Tucker and his lovely wife, Sarah, in Reykjavik on the way back for a couple days in Iceland.
Iceland. Yeah. Well, that's a hell of a trip.
Right.
That'll be interesting.
So it is. But Paris, you know, there is something about, I am not a big traveler. I will say that. I often have in fact developed an anxiety around leaving the house for long periods of time.
Really? What do you think that's from?
I don't know.
Even though you had such a transformative trip to, say, Paris, that didn't overcome the negatives?
I'm better about it than I have been, you know, years past. But it really is just the act of leaving. Once I'm gone, like once I'm finally at the airport, I'm fine. It's the checklist, and I've given myself an actual physical checklist. Make sure this is done. Make sure this is done. Make sure this is done. And that's
a little up, wheels locked.
Yeah. Basically, I pre-flight before I go. Right.
Yeah. Are you worried about forgetting something?
I don't know.
Because they sell socks in Paris too.
You're right. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But anyway, back to the question at hand. The trip was really wonderful. I am enjoying travel more. I love traveling with Adrienne. She is a wonderful travel companion, partner in crime. So that makes it better. That makes it a lot more fun. Let's see. Now you've had a bit more time. Do I still feel the same way? The same way about the trip?
Do you feel, because when you got back, you were kind of almost euphoric about it?
Yeah.
Is that still there, or is that sort of calmed down? And then what's left residual stuff that's there?
Certainly, it's calmed down.
Yeah.
But
it becomes part of the fabric of your memory more than this thing that was overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean the memories are still very vivid. There are places that I would like to go back and photograph. There are places that I would like to go back and see. There are places I would like to go back and just sit and not do anything other than watch Parisian life go by. You and I are very different in the way we approach those kinds of things. I think you are much more, okay, we got to go here, we got
to
go here.
I like to see stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to see stuff too, but I don't want to have to take a vacation from my vacation. Mm. I think the place did make a huge impression, and I don't know, maybe it's the unknown that was so interesting. I mean, the other part of it was, you know, you're sitting there in this bakery and you look down at the napkin, and it's, you know, since 1360 or whatever it was. There's a sense of history and struggle and culture there that is in many ways different from our own here, and in that way it's interesting to me. The language barrier was you know, everybody spoke English, but I did find myself feeling not bad, but I feel like I could have done better to prepare and at least have a few more phrases or sayings in French to attempt to rise to them instead of them having to sort of fall to me.
Right.
I think it was lovely, and I think what we are attempting to do, Adrienne and I, is take one big trip a year if we can figure that out and swing it, and you know, so I'm looking for people to talk to while I'm there. I'm looking for artists, photographers who are going to be in Paris or in Cologne, sort of end of September. If you're going to be there and you want to meet up, find me, text me, email me, whatever, WhatsApp me. I just started using WhatsApp today. You ever use that?
I have actually. Kevin, who helped me out on my shoot the other day, uses an Android phone. And apparently if you text videos from Android to iPhone to iOS, it really degrades the videos. But if you send them through WhatsApp, they stay higher quality.
Yeah, I just started using it, and it's a thank you to Sean Tucker, because I've never used it, and we were talking. I mean, we usually kind of DM back and forth on Twitter, right. And I said, hey,
this is terrible. This is
I said, is there a better way that you communicate? And he's like, oh yeah, I usually use WhatsApp, and I know a lot of people outside the U.S. specifically that use it, and it, you know, like I said, it's my first day of using it, but it seems terrific.
Well, it's just like any of the other things, but I think that's owned by Facebook too, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
Damn it! I can't get away.
You really can't.
Owns WhatsApp. But now they say it's encrypted end to end. Is that true?
Yes, but you can get to it at the at each end. Theoretically, I do believe WhatsApp uses the same stuff as the Moxie Marlin Spike guy. Signal?
Okay. So is one, I mean, WhatsApp seems much more popular than Signal. Is one better than another?
I think Signal is probably a little safer in the sense that it's not owned by Facebook. But
damn it, now I just got it figured out. Do you remember what was the chat program back in the day? Trillium? Do you remember that?
Trillium, so you could use multiple things in one.
Yeah, it connected to AOL all sorts of different
messengers.
There's also
Penguin.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything like that in the modern world?
No. Nobody wants you to interoperate. The modern world is not about interoperation, Jeffrey. It's about silos.
Yeah.
It's sad, actually.
Yeah.
So wait. What does WhatsApp have to do with travel?
Oh, I think just touching base with other people.
Okay.
I mean, like Ben's on it,
and
Greg Nolan's on it. Like all these people
on WhatsApp.
Well,
I think I'm Bill Watt.
It's back to the lift, Bill. Maybe it's your approach.
I just opened WhatsApp. What did I do wrong?
All right. So anyway, thank you, John. Hope that gives you some semblance of an answer. If not, ping me, ask me further questions, and I'm happy to go deeper and answer you back. Kevin, what would that be? Keeler?
Okay. He has a pronunciation guide at the bottom of the email.
Oh, right.
Kaler rhymes with Taylor, he says.
Right. Kevin Kaler.
Yeah.
Hi, and Kevin.
It's Regina, Saskatchewan.
Okay. Regina rhymes with Saskatchewan.
Exactly.
All right. So Kevin Kaler. Hello, Kevin. What obligation does one have to other creatives/photographers/artists in helping others in their journey?
We have about 20 minutes left in the show. And if we are really going to read the long version of his question, which is 10 paragraphs long.
Paragraphs, right.
Yeah. Just kidding, Kevin. We really appreciate the question.
Yeah.
But the gist of it is he goes in to talk about how he met some young photographer. I think it was a woman. He was photographing with a 5x7. Young woman came up to talk to him, and she had an introductory DSLR. He told her how to start using it and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it just comes down to, you know, he says, I take encouragement from podcasts. I take technical knowledge from books. I take inspiration from others' photographers' photos. I take location ideas from various websites. I take. But I don't give back to others besides the occasional like on Instagram, a random encounter like with the young woman. And I feel guilt that perhaps I should be giving back in some meaningful fashion, but I don't know what it means since camera clubs and most online interactions have been ruled out. He talks about going to camera clubs and how
he just
doesn't like the bureaucracy of it and stuff.
Well, I think maybe the engagement can be more than just a like, Kevin. Maybe you can tell that person why you like it. What is it about that particular picture or body of work or song or whatever it is that moved you, that connected with you, that compelled you to want to put pen to paper or thumbs to keyboard, as it were.
The power of whatever compelled you.
Grayskull.
Oh, yeah, that too. Wait, isn't that The Exorcist?
Grayskull,
power
no,
of Christ compels you?
Yeah. That's The Exorcist.
Okay, there you go.
Power of Grayskull is He-Man.
Yeah.
Come on. Get it right.
No, I got that half. I was going with my half. He says, I think both of you are giving back to the artistic community through the podcast. Plus, I know Bill occasionally has spoken to groups, and I assume Jeffrey has as well. You know, this is a good opportunity for me to put up a video that I put up a little while ago of me giving a talk about some of my dream things, which if you haven't seen, could be fun and interesting. It's about an hour long. So yeah, I do occasionally do talks. Jeffrey does both this show and Process Driven and all of his other conversations in which he talks about this stuff.
And a new show in the works, hint, hint.
And a new show in the works, hint, hint.
Yeah, video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ballsy.
Right?
But are you doing these actions only because of financial or contractual reasons, or do you feel you have a moral, ethical obligation to art and other artists to give back in some fashion? Well, I would definitely say that I don't think Jeffrey or I are buying houses based upon the money we make from doing any of these things.
No. 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 Wait.
No. Are we doing it? I mean... I don't know if it's moral, ethical, but I do like talking about this stuff and maybe turning people on about stuff that they might get excited about. I like talking about my projects because I feel like perhaps it'll make other people decide to do one of their own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll inspire somebody, or somebody will look at the way that I take pictures and it'll make... I mean, I've watched a lot of videos of other people talking about their work. Or I go, oh, that's a good idea. Like, or something will spark and say, oh, I wonder why they didn't do this. Well, I could do that. You know what I mean?
Right,
that kind of thing. So there's definitely all that kind of stuff. I like the idea of community. I like when I watch Art Streber's Instagram feed, which is amazing, by the way, like one of the best. Where not only does he show the pictures he's taking for everybody, but he also shows a bunch of behind the scenes. Almost every single time, a pile of behind the scenes stuff of how he made it. He talks about how he lit it. He talks about all this kind of stuff. And I look at his posts almost religiously and just, you know, oh, look, right. What is he doing? Oh, he's got this big thing behind there. Oh, that's really interesting. And that's changed the way that I shoot and the way I see things now. So yeah. I think
sharing your knowledge and experience is always a good thing.
Yes.
By and large.
Yep.
I mean, I think that in terms of a responsibility, I mean, I think that speaks to what kind of person you are. Do you generally, I mean, regardless of whether we're talking about in a creative sense, do you generally go out of your way to help or share or, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't know that we need to relegate it to just other creatives.
Yeah.
But if you can help sort of soften the blow or help sort of pave that road for someone else and take an interest in someone else, whether it's a mentoring kind of a role or just listening to what they're trying to make, create, go through,
I
think all those things have value.
I just, whenever I see people looking at maps on the subway, like tourists, I'm always just, you know, do you guys need some help getting there? You know, because, you know, you're in a new city, whatever, you don't know. And a lot of times they'll say yes. Yesterday, I got an email from a listener just asking some questions, like career advice questions. And I said, would this be easier doing a phone call? He's like, yeah, I'm available until 3. And I was like, well, I got 20 minutes before I get on this flight.
Yeah.
And I called him up, you know, and we talked for a few minutes. And it's like, I don't know if I was helpful, but, you know, I'm happy to try, you know. Yeah, I don't really understand people who are really closed down about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the reason why I don't show absolutely everything I do is that I just don't want to take the time to have to put together a version of everything that I do. You know what I mean? Like, oh God, I got to do another post and write a whole other thing about how I took the picture that I just took. And it's like, sometimes I do it and sometimes I'm just lazy, you know, or sometimes right, I feel like it's obvious. So it's like, why bother?
I don't think there's any real value anymore in playing things real close to the vest.
No, I don't think so. But I guess his main question is like, do you think there's an obligation to do it?
Obligation is strong. I don't know that I'm speaking for myself. I don't know that I'm qualified to say that there is an obligation to that. But
sir, what are you qualified for?
Yeah, not a lot. I think it's a good thing because many of us, maybe most of us, maybe even all of us, if we're going out on a limb, when we were starting out in whatever endeavor or field, we oftentimes wished that there was someone we could just go, hey, how do you do this? I mean, when I was first learning 3D, the first application that I really sunk my teeth into was an app called Imagine. And it was made by a company called Cool Fun, the CEO of which was a guy named Mike Halverson, who has since passed away.
What did this app do?
It was a 3D app, DOS-based 3D app.
Okay.
And it came on the back of this book about three-dimensional animation, right? CGI animation, whatever. And I installed it on my probably then XT, and couldn't figure out a few things. And I did some looking and I found the phone number and I called them up and guy answered the phone and
it was him.
And it was Mike Halverson. It was a CEO.
Sure.
Cause it was a little company. And I said, hey, I'm trying to figure this out. And I couldn't. And he said, well, you know, go try this, this, or this, and this. And I did it and it worked. And a couple weeks later, I had another issue I couldn't figure out. And
he's
like,
oh really? God, is this guy again?
Yeah. So I called him up and I mean, we became friends I met him only a few times. But you know, we talked about his life. We talked about his divorce when he was going through it. And we became really good friends all because he was sort of vulnerable and available and willing to offer his knowledge and help to someone who wanted to learn.
Right, right, right.
So I think there's immense value in it. I don't know that it's an obligation, but there is this idea of paying it forward. And if I help you and I'm a good person, then maybe when I need some help, the universe will see fit to put someone in my path. You know?
Right. Sure. And I think that there's, I think that there are people also who are good communicators and mm-hmm. there are people who aren't. So yep. maybe if you're not really that great of a communicator, maybe it's less valuable for you to try to, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't try. I'm just saying that it's, you know, for some people, that's a thing. For some other people, they're not like that, you know, or right. they have other skills.
And play to your strengths. I mean, I've asked a few people to be a guest on PD. And a couple people have gone, you know, I really either I don't like the sound of my own voice or I'm not really good at sort of thinking on the fly. But yeah. if you want to send me some questions, yeah. I'm happy to answer them and write back to you. You know, so it's not that there's not a willingness to engage. It's there's a reluctance to feel uncomfortable in the way of that type of engagement is presented.
Just send them our show and they could see
yeah.
how.
Yeah. It doesn't talking, have. Talking yeah. off the it's cup far have from to be perfect. Good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we don't even form sentences.
I don't even form words.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, what just happened? I'm like looking at Skype. What happened?
Hey, I have a question for you. Quick question on the, I'd like to put an Ask OTP question in for Jeffrey.
Yeah,
Sidoris.
Right. Audible.
Your, I'm gonna drop in Bill's question.
Hi, I'm Bill calling from Brooklyn, New York, and
beep.
Now I'm looking at your angle of view tees, right? You see how that like the overlay of the different spreads, right?
Yeah.
And you're doing what other people do. I'm just trying to think of why people do this. Why is it that the angle of view of an 85 is it that the volume of the cone, the area of the cone, is always the same? Like, why do we automatically make the 85 longer? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, hold on. Let me go there. So I'm looking at the same one.
You understand what I'm getting at, though?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think
people are going to use a longer lens?
Well, I think it's to illustrate the relative reach of the lens.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I'm not. I mean, so that an 85 is a longer lens than a 28, and maybe it's a way to illustrate that more readily.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's a great question. I don't know the technical answer behind it. I should.
You get what I mean, though.
Yeah.
You look at it and you go, huh? Like, why is that like that?
I think visually it gives, because if you look at like a 200,
sure,
it would be this very, very thin, very, very long sort of piece
necktie,
of that arc.
Yeah.
But I think, again, visually, and maybe I'm just assuming here or sort of superimposing my own belief of what I want it to be, but I'm it would seem that it reads like, oh, okay, subject. At a given subject, you know, this is what you're going to see at a given distance or something.
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, people tend to use longer lenses from further away, so that makes sense. I just couldn't put together why, you know.
And you have to make them longer, otherwise they would just be stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, right. Which is what I initially thought. But then I'm like, I wonder why we do that. You know, I mean, just beyond visually, like it didn't. Anyway, there's my question. Thanks for answering.
Maybe it is. You know what? Maybe it's based on the 24x36 size of a full frame sensor relative to the angle of view.
I don't quite understand.
Well, I mean, let's say you're looking at a 10x12 wall from 10 feet away.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
You know, with a 28, you're going to be able to, let's say, see that whole thing.
Right.
Whereas with an 85, you're only going to be able to see, you know, 7 feet of it.
Right. But it doesn't mean that the length needs to be longer. That's taken care of by the angle.
Right. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the technical reason behind it, but I will do some looking and see what I can find.
Okay. Anyway, just sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, no. Thanks for your call.
I was staring at. Photographer week this week. We really have never used her.
We have never used.
Wow.
Her.
Okay, go ahead.
So, photographer of the week this week, Mary Ellen Mark.
Can't believe we never used her.
Well, I went to the list and okay. I didn't. Here, you know what? Watch, I'm going to make a liar out of myself. Let's see. Command F, M A R Y. Not found.
Okay, done.
Hold on. Let me look up Mark. Yeah. Nope.
Okay.
The only Mark that it finds is the hashtag market assignment that we used in episode 155.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. So monster, right? I mean, what do you got? What do you say?
Icon of photography.
Died a couple years ago. I think what, 15? Died 2015 or 16?
Yeah. 75 years old.
Yep. A number of what are now considered iconic photography books.
Yep.
There's one called Scene Behind the Scene that I don't have, but I am interested in. Fiden has published her. Aperture has published her. A bunch of people have published her. And in fact, a listener of the show, Patrick Wong, was kind enough to send me one of her books that he had signed. At the last workshop that she ever did.
That's
Man
amazing.
And Beast. Yeah, Man and Beast is the name of the book.
He's such a good guy.
So thank you, Patrick Wong. Thank you again.
I mean, photojournalism, documentary work, definitely one of those people who seems like she sort of gets accepted by the people she's shooting. You know, there's like this
absolutely.
Familiarity with
absolutely.
It.
Like a Eugene Richards type of character where she's part of the narrative.
Quite as depressing most of the time.
Right. Yeah, but part of the narrative rather than simply an observer of it.
Yes. Yep. Definitely. So it's, I mean, even the pictures of that she's taken of, there's a picture of Woody, a couple of pictures of Woody Allen on her thing. In fact, if you go to her site,
yep.
The gallery, yep. Celebrities, Woody Allen, the top one, just him with the umbrella on... on a balcony, and it's like, okay, super simple. It's like, it's going to go black under there. That's fine. Just let it go black. And it ends up being a nice little backdrop for him, you know?
And I think that was one of the sort of strengths and hallmarks of her work, was that it did feel simple. It didn't feel fancy, for lack of a better word.
Sure. Yeah. Overdone.
Yeah. Even the photojournalistic stuff, and there's another gallery on her website, maryellenmark.com, for those of you who want to check it out, a gallery of the 20x24 Polaroids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even some of those, you know, we sort of hold this camera up as this sort of magical photographic instrument, and maybe it is and was, but these are really simple photographs. And again, I think that speaks to her skill as a photographer, is making them look simple when maybe in reality they were completely the opposite in setting them up. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. My guess is that they probably were simple. I mean, there are other people who would say, well, she only uses one light because she only knows how to use one light. You know, there's people who say things like that, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, but there's plenty of super amazing people who have only used one light. You know, Timothy Greenfield Sanders only uses one light, you know?
Right.
Vermeer only used one light.
That Ward 81 project.
Where's that one? Where gallery?
Look in the bottom of galleries.
Ward 81 printing notes. Yeah, which one?
Yeah, where she's documenting sort of mental illness.
Yeah.
On these cards, Mark, Dr. Dean Brooks, and others involved with the project made notations. The notations on the back of each card are usually pertaining to how the final prints would be made. On the front, there are sometimes dots or stars used in the editing process. This collection is a unique look at the Ward 81 project, giving insight to how it evolved and the care taken in creating the book and the exhibition.
Oh, man. Okay. Four in, three down.
On this project?
Yep. Two women, one hands under her chin, the other one like turned towards the camera.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that composition. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom chakalaka.
Yeah. Just a really wonderful...
That's what a 35 or so will get you right there.
Mm. Yeah. Where are we at on time? Real quick. Yep. We'll talk about this next week, but I found a photographer, and I forget where the story was, but it popped up in my feed. He's shooting 8x10.
Okay.
And he's shooting, Bill, on Cibachrome.
Really?
Printing on Cibachrome, right? And what he did when Cibachrome stopped being produced...
He bought it all up?
He bought it all. He bought a 10-year supply, Bill. And when he says that when he has printed his final Cibachrome print...
He's done with photography.
Yeah, he's done with photography.
How old is this person?
I think he's in his 70s. We'll talk about it next week. I'll put it in the show notes for next week.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's like the dye transfer people, right? Like there's a handful of them left who do dye transfer and...
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing in Cibachrome, right? It's the dye is in the paper, right?
Yep.
I don't know why somebody doesn't pick that up again. You'd think that such stellar results. I mean, you look at a Cibachrome print and you can tell it's a Cibachrome print.
Yeah, but you know what? All these chemical processes are really nasty for the environment too.
Yeah.
It's the thing a lot of people don't like to talk about.
So please do, dear listeners, take some time and go check out Mary Ellen Mark. Yeah. Her books are available everywhere. There's a terrific article that we put in here on the death of her at 2015 at 75. It's a Time magazine article where they talk about some of her career highlights and some of the projects that she's worked on. And she was one of those people. And you've heard Bill and I talk about these monsters. She was one of them. And we mean that in the best way possible.
There are pages and pages and pages of that project.
Ward 81 project?
Yeah, down the right hand corner. There's six pages of them.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. Very cool. Good catch.
Like I said, I can't believe we didn't use her.
All right. If you guys have any questions,
if you guy has,
I just, oh my God, I'm.
If
so
you
tired
guy
right
has
now
any feed question, Bill, you can give us talk.
Photographer needs sleep badly.
That's right. Shooter is about to die. Those of you who ever played Gauntlet will get those. If not, shame on you.
It's the only. I think that might be the only one that I would really ever want at my house.
A coin-op version?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. With the four player co-op.
There aren't that many where it really matters, right?
Yeah.
That one really did matter that it was a real thing and you stood around the side of it and you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It mattered, and you weren't soloing that game. That game was so much more fun co-op.
Oh yeah. 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 It was only good that way. And yeah, now as an adult, see, when you were a kid and it was like, oh my God, I put $5 in quarters. Now I'd be like, all right, I got $100 worth of quarters. Who's game?
Yeah, who's in?
We're going deep.
Yeah.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail so we can use it on next week's Ask OTP, 347-687-9411. If you have any ideas for 30-day challenges that Jeffrey and maybe I, if I can come up with a good challenge, and some of you are going to do starting in May, send those in as well. Podcast at ontakingpictures.com will send us an email. And let's see, at Bill Wadman, at Jeffrey Sidoris, at Wadman365 on Instagram. You can buy Jeffrey's new shirts at jeffreysidoris.com/store.
Yep. Just in the main store.
Okay. And anything else?
No, just, you know, what we've said already. Thank you for being here each and every week. You know, it's all a process. We're working through it, and we're glad that you're here to kind of work along with us.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, we really do enjoy doing this show. It's fun having you guys around.
It is indeed. It is
indeed. And, you know, I have to say, meeting listeners, because I've met a few listeners in the last few weeks in my travels,
yeah,
is always nice.
It's really cool, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like,
in fact, I think listener Barry, how do we pronounce Barry's last name? Chatillon?
Okay.
He's going to be in D.C. and we're going to meet up for coffee.
All right,
I think. I hope.
There you go.
Yeah. It is. There is this weird thing, right? Like, in meeting someone who has listened to us for weeks, months, years.
They know way more about us than we know
right
about
and
them.
We know zero about them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a photographer in the UK that was listening to us while he was here in America photographing on an assignment. And when we talked on the phone, he was like, I feel like I know you guys. I've listened to you for so long.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I was like, I just found you a week ago.
Yeah. What's your name again?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there is something really amazing about doing these meetups. And you know, I would love to do more of them. I know you would too.
Yeah.
And you know, it looks like, at least in the short term, you don't know what's going to happen. But at least in the short term, you're doing a lot more location based work. Yeah. And it looks like you might have the chance to do more of that.
Yeah.
I think it's terrific.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going back to bed. Yep. I will talk to you later, Jeffrey.
Yep. Talk to you later. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time.
All right. See you.
Yep.
Going on and on the way we are for so long. To any fool, it's plain to see something's wrong. This way, say what you wanna say, though I know your words will lay me out, so I can hear you think out loud. Going through your thoughts the way I have for too long, it's clear to me the this way. Say what you want to say. I know what you will say will leave me out, but I should hear it said aloud. Everything we tried to make it right,